Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Division of Unintended Consequences here at Car Talk Plaza.
It is. I'm going to read this letter as it arrived. I don't know if I should mention his name, but why not, Phil? It's probably not often that you are thanked for helping someone's business, but that's exactly the reason I'm writing. About 6 months ago, you were helping a caller with a problem with his Honda. I can recall your words. You suggested that he take his Honda repair manual and go read through it while sitting on the John. I remember that call.
I do.
It is this seemingly innocuous suggestion which has been a tremendous boom for my business. You see, I am a colorectal surgeon. And as most good mechanics and many of my colleagues know from experience, performing your research while sitting on the John is an outstanding way to produce the most gargantuan hemorrhoids. Since your suggestion on the air, I have seen my business grow at a phenomenal rate. In fact, I've begun a little medical research study to see if I can tell the make and model of a patient's car by the size of his hemorrhoids. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, I can't thank you enough for your help with my business. Should you ever need any duff remodeling, I would be pleased to offer you my services at automotive mechanics rates. Sincerely, Dr. Philip Dean from somewhere in cyberspace. Well, Phil, I'm glad that it worked out.
Well, we try to help out any way we can.
And you never know what the unintended consequences could be.
That's
it opens up a whole new world.
That's what makes our show so dangerous. If you want to talk to us about your rear end or any other part of your car, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jenny from Fort Collins.
Jenny with a J?
Jenny, Fort Collins. Where is that?
Colorado.
Hey, you knew.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. I may have been there once. Is there a big fort there?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. Does it snow there?
Yes.
I was there too. What's up, Jenny?
What's up is my car's a piece of junk. I had a rat box, Econo box for 11 years with no trouble. And then I buy, like, the real person car. It's a Chrysler Sebring. Right now, the driver's side door, every time it rains, fills with water.
The door itself fills up with water?
The door itself.
Oh, how does it sound?
How does it sound? It sounds
slushy.
Like the ocean. You can hear it when you stop. You know, it whooshes around.
Well, that was an option for you inlanders.
Yeah, because since you don't have an ocean of your own.
Right, so everybody in town wants to drive my car so they can feel like they're at the beach for the weekend.
You got it. Well, you don't have the convertible, do you?
Yeah.
Yes. Also, whenever I go to the car wash, I get completely washed myself on the driver's side.
Oh.
So if I go into the automatic car wash, I get soaked.
Do you put the top up?
Of course.
No, you have to do that?
Well, that way you can take a shower at the same time. Kill two birds with one stone.
No, I would take my shampoo with me. That was part of it.
Well, that's interesting because that might change everything.
So I took it to the mechanic guy.
Yeah.
And he drove it around the parking lot and, you know, got out laughing hysterically.
Isn't that...
This was at the dealership?
I hate the dealership. I can't stand it.
Yeah, they're trained not to laugh.
Yeah, but other people who don't have those corporate responsibilities, they let you know what they really think.
Yeah, no, this is at the place next to them, and so he calls this guy, "Hey, Joe, come listen to this."
Hey, watch this.
So he drives it around and laughs, and I'm just standing there like an idiot. And I say, "Well, is it a problem?" And they go, "Well, your door's going to rust off."
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And you know, I said, "Can you fix it?" And they said, "Well, there's a plug that they could take out, but that it was still going to rust my door out." And then they said that it's probably a recall item.
Hmm?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, water gets into everybody's doors.
Yeah.
You know.
Like a whole ocean full of it?
Yeah, but it comes out because every door has drain holes in it. And it doesn't mean that if one isn't enough or if there are a lot of drain holes in the door in all likelihood, there's not just one. And you can make more if you want. or Mother Nature will make them for you by rusting out the bottom of the door, and the problem will be solved. But you need to solve that problem first.
So did he take out the plug and the water drained out?
Well, it drains out like a day later.
Oh, no good. No.
Something's funny in that door.
But you're sure it's all in the door? See, that's not what I'm not sure of that.
No, how do you know that?
Well, the way you're going to know it is you're going to have somebody drill out the door, and you're going to get the water out, like, tomorrow. Then if you still hear the sloshing when you're driving, it means that there's water someplace else in the car.
Yeah, it's behind you.
Well, actually, I kind of thought it was in that runner part.
Yeah, the rocker.
Ah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I would take it to a body shop and have them find out where the water is. And I think you're going to find out that it's in more than one place. And it's also coming in to the convertible top. This car's a junk box.
I hate it.
And it could also be in that space behind the front door, just above the rear wheel.
You could have water every place. You could have water on the knee, too.
Water everywhere and all the boards.
But I would take it
shrink.
To a body shop. I mean, these guys it was nice that you provided them a good laugh. And everyone in the industry needs a good laugh every now and then. However, you got to take it to a shop where they can actually examine this thing and find out how the water's getting in and, more importantly, how to get it out and all of it, because it will ruin your car.
It will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Seth Strong from Castro Valley, California.
Hi, Seth.
Seth.
What's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much. I've got an Isuzu 86 pickup truck, and on cold mornings and cold evenings, it smokes like crazy out of the exhaust pipe.
White?
Yeah, white smoke. It's crazy. It's really thick.
Only on cold nights?
Cold nights.
What do you call cold in California?
Yeah, I'm in Northern California, so it's, let's say, 50, 40.
Oh, you guys, you must be dying there, so cold. How many pairs of long underwear do you have on now?
Three.
It's 50 degrees in the studio here. Jeez.
I mean, do you have, like, fires burning in the street just to stay warm when you walk away?
Tire fires,
You're setting parked cars on fire? Jeez.
So if it gets down to 50 degrees.
Well, let's say 30 or 40. That's better.
Even 30 or 40.
Yeah.
And you're sure the smoke is white?
Yes.
There's no chance it has any blue in it?
Well, it is, after all, early morning or late evening, so I'm not that positive.
And so wait a minute. Forget about the temperature.
Okay.
Tell us when it happens without the temperature.
It's when I first start the car up, when it's just warming up.
Right. So when it happens in the evening, it's because you've left it parked in the parking lot at work all day.
Right.
And you start it up and you see the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive this every day?
I've got
Yes,
it.
I do.
Sure.
You drive it every day.
Yeah.
And it runs fine.
Yeah, it runs great. It runs great. It does, I hate to say it, burn some oil. That's probably what we're talking about, though.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we may be.
I don't think so.
I don't.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Why I asked if it had a blue tinge, because I think it does. And I think you have a classic case of needing a ring job.
I'm going to disagree with my brother. I'm going on record as disagreeing with my brother. How long has this been going on?
Oh, since I bought the car. So about a year.
And see, my brother thinks you have
no,
a...
No, I take it back. I take it back!
It's too late. It's too late.
I'm taking it back. He just threw in the year thing.
Well, see...
Well, let me ask one question.
That's what happens when you jump to a conclusion before you know all the facts, because you were going to say that he has a blown head gasket.
I was going to say he has a leaking head gasket.
Yeah.
But my next question was going to be, have you ever noticed in this past year that you have been low on coolant?
No.
Not a drop.
That's too bad.
Well, that's like another
that's
nail.
What you get.
It's like another nail in the coffin, isn't it?
That's what you get for being a wise guy.
Yeah.
Now it's going to cost you $2,000.
Yeah. Well, if you're lucky, there's a possibility that you need valve guide seals or new valve guides. And what happens when you first start the thing in the morning, it's blowing smoke because you're burning oil. And there are two ways that you can be burning oil. Either you're sucking it through the valve guides,
uh-huh,
or you're pumping it past the rings.
Oh, that's not good.
And I'm going to just guess that you're pumping it past the rings.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with my brother.
All right.
And I'm going on...
Some guys never learn.
I'm going on record here as disagreeing with my brother.
Go for it.
Well,
because I think it's the valve guide seals.
Oh.
If it's really rings, then there would be smoke coming out all the time.
Well, once the pistons heat up a little bit and swell up, the bad rings usually tend to get a little bit improved insofar as oil control is concerned.
How much oil are you burning?
Oh, I'd say about a quart. Let's go...
800?
About that.
Yeah. You need a ring job.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
okay.
You could try Motor Medic.
What's Motor Medic?
Just don't ask. Just go buy it.
Oh, no.
It's a ring job in a jar.
No, I'll tell you. We have had very good luck with this product called Restore.
Yeah.
Restore.
And if it doesn't fix the rings, it'll grow hair.
Add it to my coffee.
But this stuff is very good insofar as freeing up stuck rings. So if your rings are worn out, nothing's going to fix that.
Right.
If the rings are stuck, and we've had a lot of instances where people have overheated their cars or not changed the oil for a long time and the rings got stuck, and we've added a few cans of this over a couple of oil changes, and we've improved the consumption dramatically.
It sounds less expensive than a ring job.
Yeah.
But when that doesn't work, save up. See you, Seth.
See you later. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Goodbye.
1-888. He sounds pain.
But if he has led a good, clean life, then the Restore is going to work for him.
Well, we've had very good luck with it. But like I said, if the rings are worn out, then he's done for. I think
he's going to have to go for the liquid metal.
I think he's done for. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ross in Seattle.
Hi, Ross.
What's up?
Well, I am wondering about the effect of car color on bird excretory behavior.
Doctoral dissertation has been written on this subject.
Yes, and I've been conducting an involuntary controlled experiment because I have had two cars that were identical except for color. In 94, I bought an Acura GSR four-door, which is a wonderful car, and I really loved it. And then, tragically, it was an accident and was totaled, and it was dark green.
Yeah.
And I drove it parked at home. It's parked in a garage. At work, it's parked on the street. And I've drove it in the same places, parked it in the same places as the one I have now. When the first one was wrecked, I bought a white was the only one they had, and I took a white.
Oh, kiss of death.
And this car, this white car, has had more bird dew on it than all of the cars I've ever owned in my, you know, my whole life. It's just a bird dew magnet, and I can't figure it out. I mean, from the air, these two cars look the same in terms of their outline, except one was green and one was white.
Yeah.
This is the first white car I've ever owned.
No, one certainly is more of a beacon.
Sure.
I mean, not that the birds aim necessarily, but who knows what goes through a bird's little pea brain.
I've wondered if there's some sort of infrared, you know, bullseye that only birds can see.
Yeah, right on the roof of the car.
Yeah.
Well, how good is their aim? I mean, have you ever seen, first of all, have you ever seen a bird in the act?
No, I haven't been able to catch them.
No one ever has.
No one ever has.
And from what height do they release their cargo?
Yeah, I mean,
cargo.
Can they do it at any height, for example?
And can they do it when they're under power, or must they coast? These are important questions.
Well, you know, I even have a car cover for this car that's light green, and they in the summer, which lasts
about
a week and a half here in Seattle, I put the car cover on it, and they don't poop on that.
They don't.
Because it's light green.
Well, I mean, I have no idea. I find it hard to believe that they're actually thinking about it when they do it. I mean, you're ascribing to them some kind of, you know, determination. They're looking down and saying, there he is. I'm going to go down and poop all over his car.
Well, the only explanation, I mean, the two cars are identical except for...
No, I agree. It's certainly a mystery. But it certainly would seem as though that what they're doing is almost involuntary. I don't think they're thinking about it.
You would think so. Without close examination, you would think that it's involuntary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure, and I think we're going to need help from some of our listeners to find this important information.
I even logged on to your website and didn't find any information on...
Well, post
what'd you use for a keyword? Poop? You look up the keyword poop and you'll find something.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of our columns probably.
And a picture of my brother. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I would like people to let us know, either by writing to us via email, snail mail, or going on cartalk.com, and we'll try to have a box, a booth set up just for this issue. This is one of the mysteries of the decade.
Right.
Right. This is a burning issue. This is almost as important as jock itch.
It is.
Yeah.
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 And the heartbreak of psoriasis. Thanks, Ross.
You're welcome.
We'll look into it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. He's right. Isn't it interesting how people notice stuff? I mean, there's so much going on. It's impossible to have any idea what's going on.
And I don't think you'd notice more bird poop on a white car than, say, a green car. I think you'd notice it on any car.
I think you'd probably notice it more on the green car.
Yeah, because it's predominantly what?
It's predominantly white. Oh, we know.
Well, it depends what kind of bird.
There have been documented dissertations.
And what their diet is.
And what their diet is, exactly.
Okay, Tommy, it's time once again to search your soul. Do you remember anything about last week's puzzler?
Let me see. I see genetically modified crops. I see gastric eruptions and rubber checks.
That was Bugsy's birthday bash at Taco Bell. We'll be right back. Well, Uncle Joe's going to get me a job working at Sato Mill. And in a couple of years, I have enough money to buy me a Coupe de Ville. Top down and ragtime music playing on radio. Pretty girls are going to run for cover when they see me roll down that road with a smile on my face. Wider than dollar bill, raccoon tail hanging off my antenna, cruising in the Coupe de Ville, cruising in the Coupe de Ville. And even though James Bond applies for a license to kill his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, this was sort of an anthropological, geological, algebraic, and above all, obfuscational puzzle. Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember anything about it.
This was from the Blind Them with Footwork collection.
Yeah? Those are the best.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, this wasn't really cricket, but hey, tough. In the little Asian country of Tuvaniska, there are two small towns separated by a mountain, and we'll call the towns Aba and Baba. And the preferred footwear in both of these little towns is the combat boot. Now, Aba has a population of 20,000. You need a pencil for this.
I remember this. They have 20,000 and 1 foot, 1 foot.
So of the 20,000 people in Aba, 1% have only 1 foot.
Yeah.
So 1% wear only what?
One boot.
Of the remaining population, half of them wear no boots. And the rest wear two boots, like you would expect.
Yeah.
In Baba, on the other side of the mountain, 20% of the people have 1 foot.
Mm-hmm.
Of the remaining people, half wear no boots, and half wear two boots. 20,000 boots are worn in Baba. So what's the population of Baba?
I have no idea. I can just guess.
Go ahead.
Zero.
How could it be zero? Who's wearing the boots?
I don't know. Maybe visitors. Well, it's not zero.
Let's go to Aba for a second.
Yeah, we go to Aba.
Okay, 1% of the population is one was
has one footed.
Yeah. Half of the remaining population wears no boots.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And the other half of the remaining population wears the conventional two boots.
Two boots.
Okay. And if you go and if you figure that out, you'll find out that there are 20,000 boots worn in Aba.
Oh.
Okay, and it turns out that it doesn't make any difference what percentage of the population has one leg.
No kidding.
And so when you go to Baba, even though 20% of the population has one foot, because they have one foot, that's also equivalent to being like half the population.
Is it not? Of course.
So every person that has one boot is just like the other part of the population where half of the people wear
no boots.
So the average is that half the people wear a boot. Therefore, one boot per person comes out to 20,000. So if there are 20,000 boots worn in Baba, the population must be 20,000. Or zero.
Well, that was obfuscated. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was very simple math. But yeah. I had to blind you with the footwork.
Well, you had to because it eluded me.
If I asked you what's half of 20,000 multiplied by two, you would have known the answer.
I would have known the answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have a winner?
You bet we have a winner. The winner this week is Frank Freeman from Greensboro, North Carolina. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Frank is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our book, Ask, Click, and Clack. It's a collection of our newspaper columns in which people ask us car questions, and then we largely ignore the question and write about whatever we feel like writing about.
Oh, kind of like what we do here on the show, right?
Yeah. With the added bonus that you don't have to listen to us.
That's when you just turn the page. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, let's see who's waiting patiently on hold for us. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Justin from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Justin.
What's up, man?
I have a 84 S10 Chevy Blazer.
Wow, still running, huh?
Yeah, and the problem is I drive a long ways to school. It's like 45 minutes, mm-hmm. And about 20 minutes into the drive, the car just starts slowing down, losing power. And it's a stick shift, so I'll shift down to fourth, and it slows down, shift into third, and slows down, until eventually I get to first gear, and flooring the gas at top speeds like 5 to 10 miles an hour. And then I'll pull over and stop for about 15, 20 minutes and then start the car again, and it's fine for the rest of the day.
Until you start home?
Well, no, the rest of the day, it's fine. It only does it when I'm driving to school.
Only two?
Yeah.
How many miles on this thing? Feel free to use scientific notation.
There's probably about 160,000 miles on it.
160,000?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of miles. You're a candidate for just about anything.
Yeah. Well, I've put two transmissions in it also, so.
Yeah, well, it isn't the transmission, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it only happens in the morning.
Well, it only happens like the first time I use the car, because I could go to school like around noon or 1 and it still does the same thing.
Yeah, doesn't have to be morning, but it's the first long trip of the day. If you drove for less than 20 minutes, obviously it doesn't happen.
Right.
And when you come home from school, it isn't like all downhill or anything. That's
exactly.
No, it's a flat drive, so no.
It's flat in both directions.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's gradual little...
It's flat in one direction. I guess it would be flat in the other direction, too.
It would have to be. It would be tough not to be. Oh, jeez.
Boy, Justin, this is good.
Have you done anything yet?
Well, I've had when I first got the car, I got a new carburetor, but it did it before that, too.
Okay.
Well, here I wouldn't you give me the likeliest suspects here? And you can just pick one.
Okay.
Gee, go ahead, but man.
Well, here are the things that it could be. Long overnight stay or not.
Yeah.
It could be a dirty fuel filter. It could be a weak fuel pump. It could be a plugged catalytic converter.
Yeah, all of these would happen on the way home.
Well, I'm just saying.
So it couldn't be any of these things. It could be, sure, it could be the radiator, but it isn't.
No, it couldn't be the radiator.
Well,
I'm trying to think of one thing of those
that's reasonable.
That would be less likely to happen when the thing wasn't completely cooled off.
Yeah, and it's none of those so far.
Well,
keep going, man.
I mean,
the kinds of things that make a car lose power. Oh.
Oh, my. Wait a minute. My brother may be passing a brainstone.
No.
Come on.
I'm not.
Would you spill your coffee in your lap again?
Oh, man. 84.
Yeah.
Let's go back 1 minute. When it starts to go at 5 miles an hour and you pull over, then what do?
I turn off the engine completely. It takes a good couple of, you know, like 5-6 miles for it to gradually slow way down like that.
Right, and then, but how long does it take before you can start it up and drive it normally again?
That's the thing. If I start it up after, you know, 5-10 minutes, it just stays slow. But if I sit there for a good 20-25 minutes, and then I'm really late to class, it works just fine.
When you coast
carburetor icing.
When you coast to the side of the road, that's what it is. Do you?
I think it is.
Yeah. Do you coast in neutral? Is it coast readily? In other words, I'm trying to find out if the brakes are sticking or something like that.
No, it's just fine.
All right. Then my brother's right. It is carburetor icing.
Okay.
Unencumbered by the thought process.
Quick, alert all the news agencies.
No, I think it is.
If you open the hood, if it still opens, there is a...
Doesn't close. There is what, like, hood? He doesn't even have a hood.
A 2-inch diameter corrugated hose that runs from one of the exhaust manifolds to the base of the air cleaner. So something called the snorkel of the air cleaner.
Right.
That may be missing.
Okay.
If it is missing, you need to replace it. It costs about $2.
Okay. And it's frequently missing because every time you take off the air cleaner, you bend it, you twist it, and you break it.
Or it falls off
one
of the street.
And pretty soon you say, what the hell do I need this for? And you throw it away.
Right. The philosophy being, how important could it be if they made it out of this cheap junk?
But what it's doing is it's warming up the air before it goes into the carburetor.
So if you don't do that, ice up.
It'll ice up.
Gotcha.
So look for the missing hose. And you'll be...
Well, if the hose is there, there is also a vacuum switch that controls that little door in the snorkel. That may be broken, too.
Oh, okay.
But at least you're on the right track. Then you can take it someplace and tell them what it is, and they'll say, aha!
Oh, okay.
And you'll have it fixed.
Or next time it stops, jump out and bring with you a hairdryer. And play the hairdryer on the carburetor, jump back in the truck.
until the carburetor catches fire.
And then jump back in the truck,
yeah.
And everything will be fine.
Disregard that last piece of advice. See you, Justin.
Thank you.
Bye. Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name's Celine, and I'm calling from Hollywood.
Celine.
Celine is S-E-L-E-N-E.
It is.
Goddess of the moon.
How do you know that?
Oh, he knows everything.
Well,
He's in touch with osteoporosis. Who's the guy you're talking
to?
Well,
I'm impressed.
It's not osteoporosis.
No?
It's Omian Aspiavados.
Oh, that's Omian.
he's my channel, man. He's my channel surfer.
He's my
official channel
Celine,
surfer.
Celine, goddess of the moon.
Goddess of the moon, yeah.
From L.A.
Yeah.
I have...
Not just L.A.
Pardon?
Hollywood, L.A.
Hollywood, yeah. Specifically.
Are you a star?
That's the moon.
No. I feed the stars.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, oh, you're a waitress.
I'm a production caterer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you get to know what the stars like and don't like
exactly.
As far as food.
Exactly.
Any peculiarities we should know about?
Who's picky?
Yeah, who's picky?
Oh, yeah, who's picky?
Who's the biggest pain in the butt?
If I say, I might never work
All right,
again.
Who's the nicest? Who's the nicest?
Who's the nicest? Michael Douglas. Is the nicest man I have ever met in my life.
No kidding.
No kidding. He's
I guess
really,
you've
really
never
nice.
Met us then, Celine, have you?
Not yet.
Michael Douglas. Well, that's nice to
he
know.
He seems like a nice guy, actually.
Yeah, he's really, really nice. I'll give you a mean one because I don't think I'll ever work with her again. Shannon Doherty.
I don't
not
know.
Not nice.
Oh, yeah. No, she's mean to everybody.
Not nice. And she had to have a case of, I think it was Avion water, delivered to her trailer every morning so she could wash her hair.
Oh, God.
But I don't think she's going to be working too much anymore, so.
Yeah.
Who's the guy who's the guy that we met that we liked? Martin Sheen.
Do you know Martin?
I think I may have worked with him.
He's the only Hollywood person we know.
Yeah. Well, I think
and he doesn't
okay
know us.
That.
I mean, we know him.
We met him. He seemed very nice also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wow.
I shined his shoes for him. He said, nice job, kid.
Did nice job.
Here's a quarter. Split it with your brother.
Your brother. Half and half. We've been fighting over that for 10 years. Yeah. So what do you want, Celine?
I have, it's actually not mine. It's my boyfriend's.
Uh-huh.
which is a 1980 Cadillac Seville with a squashed butt. I have a 1966 Dodge Dart.
Oh, now you're talking.
Which I love, and my mechanic loves it too. My mechanic won't work on the Cadillac. Anyway, when a car is cold, and only when it's cold, it won't start. So I put the key in the ignition, and I turn the ignition, and it goes.
All right, lighten up, Celine.
And then, well, no, it'll keep doing it. And then, like, there's like a pitch change or something that I know something's, like, grabbed or something.
Right,
and
all of a sudden.
So I give it gas.
Yeah.
So I give it gas and I rev it really, really high.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't have, once it does start, you don't have to rev it because I'm sure you've noticed.
Well, no, once it starts, if I don't rev it for a long time, it'll die.
That's a separate problem.
Uh-oh.
No. Oh, maybe not. Maybe we're misjudging here.
Uh-huh.
Are there a million miles on this Seville?
No, there are 53,000 miles on the Seville, and I put 10 of those on.
Yeah.
Well, your mechanic doesn't like working on this car.
Correct.
And he doesn't want to work on it,
right.
So you've got to get it to someone who does.
Well, I took it to Cadillac, because he said, take it to Cadillac.
There you go.
So I took it to Cadillac.
Yeah.
So they said, you're going to have to leave it here overnight.
That's
so we
true.
Can start it when it's cold.
Good.
Yeah.
We can't give you a ride home. We're going to have to hook it up to a diagnostic. That'll be $180. It doesn't go towards the price of fixing the car. And
sure.
So that's why I'm calling you. But now something new has happened with the same problem, you know, like when now when I rev it up.
Uh-huh.
Recently, I start revving it up, and now it goes, pah! I just scared my cat. And she's deaf.
Go get the cat from the top of the refrigerator. We'll wait.
And does it keep running after it goes bah? Or does it stop?
Yeah, no, it keeps. Well, see, as long as I keep flooring it, it runs.
Well, that's good. I've been getting the feeling
uh-huh.
as you were talking
uh-huh.
that the timing on this car is way out of adjustment. Now, this is a simple thing, and I think that's what all it's going to take to fix it.
The timing.
Ask you, what's your Dart guy's name?
My Dart guy's name is John, and he owns John's Truck and Auto in North Hollywood, and his wife's name is Sora, and they are so wonderful. They also work on the catering trucks,
and I
trust them with my life.
Yeah.
They are marvelous.
Ask John and Sora. If they have someone else nearby that's not the Cadillac shop that can work on your Cadillac, another gas station perhaps, or a repair shop, independent repair shop.
You don't need a Cadillac dealer to do this. It sounds to me something simple. I think it might need some spark plugs or timing.
When it finally does warm up completely, does it run great?
It's fine. No, it's perfect.
Does it take off and have pretty good power?
Yeah.
Yeah, or does it go
not
poof?
As good as the Dodge, but yeah.
Not as good as the Dodge.
Not as good as the
that
Dodge.
That says a mouthful.
Is great.
Take it to another garage. They will figure it out, and I'm telling you, it's going to be
timing.
Bad ignition timing.
Okay.
Omian Aspiavados has spoken to me from the other side. And he knows that that's what it is. I am getting messages.
Yes, daughter of the moon.
Yes.
Daughter of the moon. It is Omion, and it is timing, and that's going to fix
it. I'm getting messages about a bad camshaft.
Oh.
Camshaft.
You don't want to know.
No.
I don't?
If you're lucky, it's my brother's suggestion.
Okay.
But I think I'm right.
Okay.
Let's give a bad camshaft.
Uh-oh.
Just a guess.
Yeah.
All right.
I have an intuitive feel for
good
this.
Good luck.
Thing.
Say hello to
well,
your boyfriend, and say hello to Michael Douglas, and everybody else. But
great.
Don't say hello to that you-know-what.
Yeah, I won't. Thanks, guys, for the advice.
And hurry up and go pick up those sandwiches. They're waiting for you.
Thanks,
don't forget
guys.
The Evian water.
Oh, never.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so she can wash her hair. Excuse me.
All right, look, it's time to head off to Camp Coffee Cup for a minute while we give our stations a chance to do some business.
You mean this is where they thank the people who sponsor the show and all that stuff, is that right?
Well, no, this is where they call them and personally apologize. We'll be right back.
He left his Mercedes Benz, a ruby red from 64. We'd wipe that hood clean and push the pedal to the floor. Last night we went out driving to see. see the fields my grandpa swept. Those South Dakota summers just get harder to forget. Run, engine run, keep turning till the day is done.
And even though hearing aid salesmen are consumed by guilt whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Oh, no description. Just the new Puzzler.
Defies description.
Jump right into it, man. Just go for it.
Well, I do have to acknowledge, when was this sent to me? 1980 what? I'm trying to figure out who sent it.
Wow, it's a big, long thing.
Actually, Bruce Robinson, PhD, professor of civil and environmental engineering from, I forget where he's from, University of Tennessee. He's
really?
Probably quit or retired by now. Sent a bunch of puzzlers in, and I've...
I see, and you've...
I've stolen a couple of them, and I'm going to steal another one.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Well,
pretty good, and this is something for the rest of you to aspire to.
Sending stealing
four, yeah, stealing. no, sending in four or five pretty good puzzlers.
Oh,
remember when you were a kid, you had those little plastic gadgets with the numbers in them, and they had the numbers 1 through 15 and one empty square.
Yeah,
you know, and of course the thing came with the numbers all scrambled,
and your job was to put them in order,
move them, shuffle them around, and all that, and you always wound up 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 14.
Right.
And you could never get it right.
There was no way to get there.
Well, when I read this puzzle, it reminded me of that frustrating little toy that I had when I was a kid. Imagine this. There are 25 jealous people who live in the squares of a 5x5 grid. Okay, so draw on a piece of paper a 5x5 grid.
So this would be like a strange apartment building.
It could be a strange apartment building. Okay. And each of them thinks that his neighbors in adjacent squares,
i.e. So the guy in the middle, his window looks out on the guy next to him, and his window looks on the guy next to him, and then so if you want to know if it's raining, you got to look through three guys' apartments.
Right, you got to call everyone, open your windows.
Okay, I got it. This is a very strange
apartment. So we're going to number the squares. If we start on the upper left-hand corner,
got it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, et cetera, right. Down to 25.
So the first row starts with 1, the second row starts with 6, the third row starts with 11, and so forth. I got it. Yeah.
Right, so everyone is jealous of his adjacent neighbor, not his diagonal neighbor, but either the person up or down from him.
Or left or right of
or
him.
Or left or right of him. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, and each aspires to move into the apartment of his adjacent neighbor.
One of his adjacent neighbors.
One of his, for example... Number one guy can either move to number two apartment or number six.
Wow. Okay. So they'll be willing to take any other apartment as long as it isn't theirs.
As long as it isn't theirs.
The smell has gotten too bad.
And as long as it's adjacent to theirs.
Adjacent, but not
diagonal.
And
the question is very simple. What is the fewest number of total moves that can accomplish this?
Satisfy everybody.
Satisfy everyone.
So that everyone gets to move in one of the adjacent apartments.
You got it?
Yeah.
You ready? You sure?
I think so. I understand it.
All right. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or stick it to the back of a bottle of 1997 Dante Rivetti Barbaresco Brico di Nieves or something else bright, plummy, cherry, and violet-scented with firm tannins and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Dan.
Where are you from, Dan?
I live in New York City in Manhattan.
No kidding.
I have a 1996 Volkswagen Jetta with a bit over 150,000 miles. And my problem is that car doesn't go in reverse.
It doesn't.
That's all right.
No, and it hasn't went in reverse for about the last 4 years.
Oh, and you've been managing in New York City?
Yeah.
Oh, you just keep going around the block.
Well, sort of, yeah, endlessly, perhaps.
And now you're fed up with it.
Well, kind of, yeah. It makes for all sorts of interesting situations.
Oh, but, I'll bet it does.
Yeah.
So you live in the city, so you have to park this thing, and you have to move it for street cleaning and...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So how do you park this thing? I mean, I could imagine...
You're always going to have two spaces, and you stop in the middle.
Two spaces?
Well, basically, I think I know the laws of gravity better than most people at this point.
So all this, you pull up into the adjacent to the spot you want, or like you would ordinarily do, and then you count on the crown of the road being pitched toward
yes,
the curb,
exactly.
So very slowly. Do you ever have to open the door and help a little bit with a push of the sneaker?
Yes, I have to do Flintstone style once in a while. Yes,
it's perfect.
And for 4 years, you've been doing this.
Yeah, it's no fun at all. So,
well, I'm sure you've educated a lot of our listeners who have this same problem and didn't know that they could park.
Didn't know it was possible.
Yeah.
So if you could do it for four, what's another couple of years? How much longer can this car last?
Well, that's the thing. So I'm wanting to know from you, gentlemen, if this is worth fixing or if you can tell me roughly what the problem is, if you know.
Wait, is this a stick shift or a...
Yeah, it's a manual.
Yeah.
When you try to put it into reverse...
Does it go?
Does it actually go into reverse or does it seem like it's a no man's land?
Well, no. In the past, over the 4 years, it would, like, catch, so you would get something, but... Now you put it into reverse, and it just goes like, like this whirring noise, and it doesn't go anywhere. So,
oh, well, you know why? Because you're almost in reverse.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But not quite.
Not quite. And you're just in far enough to grind up the gears in the transmission, which you've been doing for...
Which you've done for 4 years, and that's the end of them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. I mean, because at some point you must have abandoned that strategy. And just use the gravity thing.
Right.
Well, there are only two possibilities here.
Yeah.
One is that it's internal. That's inside the transmission, in which case it's many hundreds to fix it. And you will continue using Isaac Newton to help you park.
Right.
The other possibility, and the more likely one actually, is that it's the linkage.
Okay.
And there's a rod, basically, that runs from the shifter, the thing that you handle inside the car.
Right.
And it attaches to the transmission. And via a bunch of other little pieces of linkage. So when you put the thing in neutral, you allow one little piece of that linkage to operate first and second gear. So when you shift from first to second, you're moving one thing in and then another thing out of the transmission, a little push rod, so to speak. And then when you go to third and fourth, you're moved over an inch or so to get third and fourth, and you're moving another one. And reverse is yet another one. When you've moved, I think reverse in your car is all the way over to the left and up.
Exactly.
You remember it, even after all these years of it not working.
Well, actually, once in a while, I accidentally slip and put it in reverse, but luckily it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, but you're going to be really ticked off when you discover that this is fixable in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it may be that there are actually rubber bushings, that support the shaft and the linkage, and it may be that one or more of these is worn out.
Okay.
So it's either something like that. Or it's inside. Now, when I say something like that, it could also be a worn-out motor mount or the fact that the rear motor mount in the transmission has sagged and is thrown everything out of whack. I imagine the other gears are a little challenging to get into, or are they just normal?
No, they're pretty good, actually.
They're pretty good? Huh. Well, you might be cooked. Well, I mean, you once in a while almost take it in for an oil change or something, right?
Right.
Yeah, I would take it to a shop that is familiar with Volkswagens because adjusting these linkages is a little tricky.
Okay.
And what you may find out when they're all done is that you have reverse and none of the other gears.
Yeah, then you can do everything in reverse. That actually might be a little better.
That's the biggest risk you have. But I think if they know what they're doing, they'd be able to get all the gears for you. And if they can't, then it's internal. Good luck, Dan.
All right. Thanks so much.
Is your left leg bigger than your right leg from driving this car?
Well, kind of, yeah. It's pretty good.
Well,
thanks so much.
Good luck, man.
I don't have a lot of patience to drive around Manhattan for 4 years not being able to back up.
Oh, imagine you see that plum parking space, and it's between you and some guy in a brand new, Mini.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to beat him. No, I'm not. I'm not beating anyone anywhere. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78255. What the number is? 78. Yeah, it is. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Laura Rose in Burlington, Vermont.
Hi, Laura?
Laura Rose is all my first name.
Laura Rose. I love it.
All one word?
It's hyphenated.
Yeah, Laura Rose.
Hyphenated. Hyphenated?
Yes.
A hyphenated first name.
In fact.
Boy, that's unusual, isn't it?
Well, not terribly.
Well, name somebody else you know with a hyphenated first name.
Haight-Ashbury? I don't know. Burlington, Vermont?
Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's on your mind, Laura Rose?
I have a Toyota pickup.
Yeah.
In the spring, I had about 90,000 miles on my truck, and I was going to do a bunch of preventative maintenance, and I had some friends that recommended that I switch to super unleaded gasoline to kind of keep things running clean.
Yeah.
So I did this, and I've been driving it on super unleaded for the past 6 months. Last week, I decided I wasn't noticing any difference in performance, and I was going to go back to regular unleaded.
Good move.
I had heard from a couple people that my car might act funny for the first tank. It might not like this switch initially.
Sort of like switching to decaf.
Right.
might have palpitations or something.
So, yeah,
that's baloney, but go ahead.
I tend to run my tank down pretty low, and I was down an empty tank, filled it up with regular unleaded gasoline. About a half a mile down the road from the gas station, my truck starts jumping and shaking and bucking like just crazy.
I love it. Don't you?
I do, too.
Don't you love it?
Thank God for all these disasters. Otherwise, we wouldn't get any phone calls.
Isn't this great? Yeah.
Continue.
Now I'm running into the problem that pretty much every time I take my foot off the accelerator, it stalls. And while I'm driving, it continues to jump, shake.
Did you buy this tank of deviant gas?
At a very reputable gas station.
And is it the same gas station from which you have been buying the super unleaded
months? No, it is not.
It is not. But very reputable, meaning brand name?
Meaning brand name. And
starting with a T?
And that I have so
An S? An E?
An S.
Ending with a vowel or a consonant?
Ending with a vowel.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Soho gas. I know it well.
So everyone tells me, get rid of this tank of gas. Drive it off.
Yeah.
So I spend the next day driving back and forth from Montpelier to Canada.
Excellent.
And then I went to a station that I do go to on a more regular basis.
Starts with an S?
With an M.
An N?
Ned's.
Anyway, I filled up with this wonderful gasoline, super unleaded.
Oh, you went back to super.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you what happened.
Okay.
It does the same thing.
Yep.
You know
continues
why?
Bucking and shaking, stalling, everything.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Yeah,
well,
why?
You just told me you knew why.
I didn't say why. I said I knew what.
You knew what? He doesn't know what. He doesn't know how, where, when, and none of those other things.
Well, I knew what because I knew that switching from super unleaded to regular would have no effect whatsoever on the drivability of the vehicle. And so
switching back, therefore, should have no effect also.
Okay.
Why did it happen? How should I know that? What do you think I am, some kind of a genius? Don't answer that.
Well, with 90,000 miles on it, you are susceptible to all kinds of things that could go wrong.
The trouble is that you are most susceptible to suggestibility.
Yes.
This would never have happened had that person told you to expect it to happen. You know, when you switch from super unleaded to regular,
awful things are going to happen.
You should expect that the vehicle is going to have to take a little time to acclimate.
Yes.
And you fell for that.
Had you talked to us first and we had told you that nothing would have happened, one of two things, either nothing would have happened or nothing would have happened.
Well, let me ask you this, because nobody told my truck about this.
What is he talking about? What is he talking about?
No, either nothing would have happened either nothing would have happened, or when this thing did happen, you wouldn't have done the cause and effect thing. See?
Exactly.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
Now, what's wrong with this thing is you have a bad distributor cap.
Bad distributor cap.
That explains the drop in power.
Mm-hmm.
The performance, the stalling, the whole shebang.
And the fact that this happened at the very moment that you filled up with regular gas is, believe it or not, a complete and utter
coincidence.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's why when you first described this little scenario, I said, isn't it great? Which is exactly what I meant. Isn't it fantastic that coincidence could have operated.
Well,
it
is sad and it's tragic, I might add, that we in the auto repair industry get blamed for all these coincidences.
That's right. Of which, when it comes to cars, there are far more of them than in regular aspects of people's lives.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so we get blamed.
We get blamed for
all
everything.
All the coincidences of the world seem to be heaped upon people's vehicles. There's a doctoral
dissertation. Your mother-in-law decides to move in with you? Blame it on your auto mechanic.
Wow.
Yeah, no, you have an ignition problem, and I'm sure you're running on, this must be a four-cylinder truck.
It is.
You're running on three cylinders, and you can drive that thing to the North Pole, and you ain't going to get it to run on four cylinders.
Isn't that something?
So have someone open the hood, it'll be immediately obvious.
I would be surprised if it cost you more than $165.
If it's the distributor cap.
Well, no matter what it is, it's going to cost you $165
if that's what it is.
See you, Laura Rose.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
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 Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Highway 1 Sticky Bun, Beef Chow Fun, Pork Todd Mun, Cardamom Shrimp Udon, Steamed One Ton, and Chilled Blue Nun Pre-Thanksgiving Trial Run is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. The director of our employee loyalty program is Upton Leftus. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the frostbitten chess players in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1246, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com,
25 years of lousy car advice.
That's right, folks. We're celebrating NPR's poor judgment with a new heap of limited edition 25th anniversary swag.
Like a black armband?
No, but that's a good idea. We've got Car Talk 25th anniversary t-shirts, sweatshirts, and a double CD with our favorite calls from the last 25 years. Check it all out right now at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Thanksgiving turkeys look at each other and wonder how we escape the axe whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.